Well, welcome. My name is Reed. I'm the lead pastor here at Gwinnett Church. And if you're just joining us, we are today closing out a series that we've been in for the past couple weeks called Kingdom Come. And what we've been talking about is this subject, this topic of the kingdom of God, which may be, you know, surprising to for some of you to hear that the kingdom of God was Jesus's most talked about subject. It was the main theme, the primary theme of all of his teaching throughout the gospels, man. So if you were to go and read through the gospels, what you would see is over and over and over again, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. He talks about what it's like. He talks about how it's near. He talks about how it's here. He talks about how it's something to look forward to. Again and again and again, the most talked about topic of Jesus, more than anything else by far, was the kingdom of God. More than love, more than forgiveness, more than prayer, more than money, more than social justice, right? All of those things Jesus definitely talked about. All of those things Jesus definitely emphasized. All of those things were important aspects of the life and the teachings of Jesus, absolutely. But the thing that he talked about more than anything else was the kingdom of God. And what Jesus would actually say is that, hey, it's actually through the kingdom of God that we experience all those other things. Because he would say that when the kingdom comes, his is a kingdom, which is a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. It's a kingdom of second chances. It's a kingdom of justice. It's a kingdom of mercy. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of renewal. It's a kingdom of healing. It's a kingdom of wholeness. He would talk about his kingdom in these ways. And so all of those things, yes, very important, but they all came under, for Jesus, the category of the kingdom. And so we said, okay, week one, we were like, if this is true, if the kingdom of God is such a big deal to Jesus, then for those of us that would call ourselves Jesus followers, we should probably know what it is. And for those of us who are investigating Jesus, maybe you're here today and you're like, hey, I wouldn't call myself a follower of Jesus, but I'm here today and I'm checking it out, or I'm here today and somebody made me come and check it out. And so that's okay too. We're so glad that you're here. But if this is the main primary teaching of Jesus, then whether you're following Jesus or you're investigating Jesus, then you should probably know what this is, so you can see what it is that he's offering and inviting us to participate in. And so that's what we did week one. We asked the question, we said, what is the kingdom, right? What's the kingdom? A lot of us don't have a context for that. We're Americans and we said bye-bye to kingdoms like, you know, almost 300 years ago. We were like, see ya. And so what is the kingdom of God, right? Like, most of us don't have experience or context with that outside of Disney films. And so what's the kingdom of God? And so, you know, I don't have time to answer all of that this morning. You can go back and watch that first message and see it explained in detail. But just the short version is simply that the kingdom of God is where God reigns and rules, right? We said that wherever God reigns and rules, there you find the kingdom, whether that be in a life, whether that be in a family, whether that be in a church, whether that be in a community, wherever God's will is obeyed and followed, wherever life is done the way God intended and desires, right? Then there you find the kingdom. And so that Jesus would teach on this kingdom, and he would say that it's something that we both are invited to participate in and anticipate later. We can participate in it now by simply turning and trusting in Jesus. And Jesus says, if you'll turn and trust in me, then the kingdom will come in your life and through your life into your relationships. And then Jesus would also say, but you also anticipate the kingdom. You don't just participate in it now, but we anticipate a day when Jesus is going to return and he's going to usher in his kingdom in our midst on earth as it is in heaven. And so it's a now and not yet kingdom, right? And so this is what it is. We're invited to participate in it now. And what we talked about last week, we began to talk about, so how do we participate in this kingdom here and now? How do we participate in it? And we asked the question, right? Week one was what is the kingdom? Last week, we asked the question of, well, what do kingdom people look like? Like, is there a uniform? Are there some distinguishing markers? Like, when I identify with Jesus, when I identify as a follower of Jesus, are there some things that are external, outward, that others should see and experience from me that mark me as one of his followers, as a citizen of the kingdom? Like, what do kingdom people look like? And we looked at the teachings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians, Or the Apostle Paul says, yes, there are some markers. There are some distinguishers. There's a uniform, if you will, right? And he compared some attributes of Jesus that should be evident in our lives. And he compared it to clothing. And he said that if you're going to follow Jesus and be a citizen in the kingdom, then he says, then this is what your life ought to look like. You should put on compassion. And you should wear kindness. And you should get dressed in humility. And you should wear gentleness. And you should put on patience. You should wear forgiveness. And over all of it, you should put on love, like an overcoat. And so these things should be evident and visible. This is what other people should see and experience from you. And they will mark you as a follower of Jesus. And they will identify you as a citizen of the kingdom. And so last week, the challenge as you all were leaving was for you to go home and do a little fit check. And to check out your outfit and to go, what am I wearing? What do people see and experience when they interact with me? And is it those things? And if not, what needs to change? What needs to change so that I am dressed properly as a citizen of the kingdom? And hopefully some of you did that. I know at least one of you emailed me and said, hey, I did that. And I was like, praise God. At least I got one. You know what I mean? I got one walking out and getting baptized. I got one person doing the fit check. We're on a good trajectory, okay? And so hopefully some of you, though, were able to go home and examine yourself or invite someone else to examine yourself and go, hey, are these things true of me? Is this what people see and experience from me? And today, as we close out the series, we've asked and answered the question, what's the kingdom? We've asked and answered the question of what do kingdom people look like? And today, we're going to close out with this question right here. We're going to ask, what do kingdom people do? What do kingdom people do? Like, is there some business that we're supposed to be about? Is there a purpose that we're supposed to participate in? Is there a mission that we're supposed to be on? Like what do kingdom people do, right? We know what we're supposed to look like, but what is it that we're supposed to be doing? If we're gonna identify with Jesus and we're gonna participate in his kingdom, like what is it that we're supposed to be about? What work are we meant to do as kingdom people? And so in order to answer this question and to understand the answer to this question, what we really have to also understand is what God sent Jesus to do. Because, and you all know this, the mission or the purpose or the business of any kingdom is determined by the king, right? The mission of any kingdom is determined by the king. And so if we want to know what we ought to be about, we first have to discover what it is that Jesus was all about. And so the Apostle Paul, no surprise, we talk about him a lot. The Apostle Paul, if you're not familiar with him, he was a Christian hater turned Christ follower through a dramatic and life-changing interaction with the risen Jesus. And after his encounter with Jesus, it completely turned his life around. And he began to plant churches. He began to tell everybody that he could travel the known world and tell them about this good news of a God that loves and saves and sent Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul, though, he would write letters back to the churches that he helped get started. And one of the letters that we'll look at this morning is 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, he writes to a church and he's written them a couple letters, right? Hence the second. We actually think it could be the third letter because the first letter that he writes seems like he's written them before, but now he's like scolding them because they didn't do what the first letter said. But Corinthians was wild. You should go read about it. It's a weird place. And then you're going to read about it and go, sounds like today. And so 2 Corinthians, though, he's trying to kind of defend why it is that he does what he does. In 2 Corinthians, he's kind of defending like why it is that he's been doing the things that he's been doing. And he's explaining why he's been living and acting the way that he's been living and acting and why it is that he's been traveling and telling people about Jesus and planting these churches. And so he's kind of defending some of what he's doing. And he'll explain here what it is that God is about in order to explain what it is that he's about and what we ought to be about. And so this is what he says. He says, therefore, and we learned last week that when you say therefore, you should ask, what's it? Therefore. All right, all eight of you. And so Yeah, you should ask, what's it there for, right? Like we ask, like, what's that there for? Earlier in the passage, he's been describing what it is that he was doing and what business he's been about and what God's been about. So he says, therefore, because of everything that I just said before this, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. So Paul's trying to explain his behavior right now and the things that he's been doing, and he's going like, look, I'm like a new person. And I hope you guys hear this morning, that when you follow Jesus, the invitation of Jesus is not just that your life gets a little bit better. The invitation of Jesus is to experience a life that is brand new. So Jesus isn't just like moderately improving your life. That's not the offer. The offer on the table is, would you like to be brand new? Would you like a completely different mentality, perspective, and outlook on life? Would you like a completely different value system? Would you like a completely clean slate from your sin? Like, he's going like, you're a brand new person. And so Paul goes, look, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is I'm different. I'm like completely different, like not moderately improved. I'm a new creation. And he says, that's what happens for people when they choose to follow Jesus. The old is gone, the new is here. And he says, all this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Meaning he made us right with him through Jesus. He brought us back into relationship with him. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He says, and he has committed to us, again, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We're going to come back to that word in a moment. He says, as though God were making now his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul writes to this church and he's going, do you want to know why I keep doing what I'm doing? You want to know why I'm risking my life? Why I keep putting myself out there? Why I'm writing you these letters and checking in on you to see how you're doing and why I keep planting other churches and telling more people about Jesus? Do you want to know why I'm doing the things that I'm doing? He's like, because of what God did. He's like, because of what God did. Namely, that God has reconciled us to him through Jesus. God has brought us into relationship. God sent Jesus on a rescue mission. And you might be thinking, what is he rescuing me from? What do I need rescuing from? Well, here's the truth. The reason why we needed a rescue mission from God, the reason why God sent Jesus on a rescue mission is because while all of you in here, you are beautiful, you are valuable, you are created in the image of God. Listen, the truth of the gospel is that you are also broken because of sin. You're also broken because of sin. And our sin, it breaks us and it divides and it separates us from a relationship with God and it separates us from relationship with each other. And honestly, you guys, it creates division in our own hearts to where you the things you wanna do, you don't do, and the things that you know that you ought to do, you find yourself not doing, and then the things that you know you ought not to do, you find yourself doing, and it creates a division within your own heart. And you don't need a preacher to point this out to you. All you gotta do is just look around the world right now, and you can see the division, and you can see the hurt, and you can see the fear, and you can see the hate. You don't need a preacher to point out to you that there is sin in this world. All you gotta do is watch TV for an hour and just watch the political ads. And you go, division, hurt, hate, finger pointing, name calling, bashing, sin. It breaks us. And it's broken relationship with us and God, and it divides us from God, and it divides us from each other, and it divides us even in our own hearts. We feel this division and this brokenness. And that breaks God's heart. That's what Paul is saying. And so, because that breaks God's heart, in love, hear me, church, in love, not in judgment, not in anger, not in condemnation, in love, God sent Jesus on a rescue mission to run into our chaos in order to lay his life down, to pull us out of our darkness, out of our sin, out of our condemnation, out of our guilt, out of our shame, and out of death. and to bring us back into relationship with him. That's what God sent Jesus to do. That was his mission. And Paul says, you wanna know why I do what I do? Because that's what God did for us. That's the mission that he sent Jesus on. And if we're gonna participate in the kingdom, then that means his mission becomes our mission. And his heart becomes our heart. And his purpose becomes our purpose. And so Paul says, we've been handed now with that, knowing that that's Jesus's mission. He says, now Jesus has handed us that same mission, that same purpose. He calls it the ministry or the message of reconciliation. Meaning that now, like as people, as kingdom people, that Jesus has handed us his purpose and his mission to go and to share that good news and to help people to reconnect with God through faith in Jesus. And so that's the mission. He calls it, he says that as kingdom people, our job description is that we are ambassadors, right? That's the word that he uses, which we don't use that word to describe ourselves a lot unless you are an actual ambassador, which if you're here, praise God, that's awesome. Or for some of you, if you have a lot of Instagram followers or something like that, or TikTok followers, and then brands send you t-shirts and then you wear them and you're like, oh my gosh, look at this, you know what I mean? Like, and then you call yourself a brand ambassador, right? Like maybe then, but for most of us, we don't often think of ourselves as ambassadors. So it's not a word that we would use to describe us. And yet Paul says, if you put your trust in Jesus, if you're following Jesus, that's your job description. He says, if you've put your trust in Jesus and the kingdom is in you, he says, now you've got a role, and your role is to be an ambassador or, you know, representative of, or maybe another way to think about it is a messenger of, right? He's like, now your job, your role, the thing that you're called to do, the business that you're meant to be about, your purpose, your mission is to be an ambassador and to take the good news that there's a God that loves him, that loves people, and a Jesus who died for you, and a life that you can live with him that is full, free, and forever. And you get to take that message to other people. And then you go, that's the mission, that's the purpose, that's kingdom work, that's what God has called each and every one of us who would choose to follow Jesus to go and share with other people. So what do kingdom people do? Well, we're ambassadors, to which some of you go, ugh, right? Like that, because that sounds intimidating. That sounds scary. That sounds like this church word, you guys, that gets used sometimes, evangelism. That's what that sounds like, doesn't it? And for some of us, we hear that and we're like, right? Sounds uncomfortable, evangelism. Sounds uncomfortable, it sounds scary, it sounds weird. For some of us in the room, that sounds wrong. As a matter of fact, there's some research that came out recently that millennials and Gen Z, 47% of millennials and Gen Z, of which I am a millennial. 47% of millennials and Gen Z think that sharing your faith is not just weird, it's not just uncomfortable, they actually think it's wrong. And so some of you hear that and you're like, ambassador, oh, that feels uncomfortable. That feels weird. Maybe you're like, that feels wrong, especially the way some of you have seen it done. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean my purpose is I gotta go door to door? Like, I don't wanna do that. My wife hides in the bathroom when people come and do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, does that mean that's what I gotta do? Does it involve picket signs and bullhorns? Yeah. Right? And so for some of us, you know, that's what we think. It's like, gosh, like, and it feels awful, it feels awkward, it feels like something that I don't really wanna be a part of. And so you're thinking like, hey God, I'm all for purpose, I'm all for kingdom work, but ambassador, it's like, can I do something else? Is there like another job description in the kingdom? You know what I mean? Like, can I do something that requires less sharing, you know? And I get that it can be intimidating, I get that it can be a little awkward, I get that it can be a little bit scary. But what's funny is that we're all actually really good ambassadors of things that we enjoy, aren't we? Like, you're all like we're all good ambassadors of something, right? For some of us, it's, you know, whatever. It's the new show that we found on Netflix. For some of us, it's a new clothing brand that we discovered, or a new band, or a new music that we just heard and we want to share it with other people. For some of us, it's a new restaurant, it's some new food, and we're great about evangelizing about that, right? We have no problem sharing those things with other people. As a matter of fact, I would say in my life recently, I've been evangelizing about a place that is over in Johns Creek, and it's a restaurant that it's called Kimchi Red, and it is Korean fried chicken, and it slaps. It's so good. I mean, it is delicious, you guys. I'm just telling you, like, I've been telling everybody, like, if somebody comes in town and visits, when we've had people come and, like, speak to our staff or anything like that, they come from out of town, anything like that, when people are coming, they're like, hey, is there somewhere good to go eat? And I'm like, duh, Kimchi Red, we're going. Like, it's amazing. And it's, like, literally some of the best fried chicken I've ever had. As a matter of fact, Yelp rated it the number one fried chicken in the United States, and it's over in Johns Creek. So go and check it out. It's so good, you guys, that I just took 2 minutes out of my sermon to tell you about Kimchi Red. You know what I mean? Like, it's delicious. And they're also, they're believers, and it's closed on Sunday, so you have to go see it tomorrow. But yes, it's really, really good. I know, taking a play out of Truett's book. So it's great, right? And we have no problem talking about that stuff. You have no problem sharing those things and being an ambassador for a restaurant or for clothing brand or whatever. But then, you know, what's so funny is, like, we're really great ambassadors about sharing things that we enjoy. And yet, Christians in the room, listen to me, Christians in the room, those of us that claim to follow Jesus, that claim that Jesus has saved us, that he has changed us, that he has healed us, that he has forgiven our sins, made us whole, made us brand new, and set us on a different path of life, and he's changed our lives and it's full, free, and forever. Those of us in the room, we look at that and we go, Jesus becomes our best kept secret. We're like really good about talking about things that we enjoy and sharing those things that we enjoy. But then when it comes to Jesus, who we claim has changed our lives, he becomes our best kept secret. And I'm not throwing shade. I'm not, like, trying to make you feel bad about that. I'm just saying, isn't it interesting that what we would say is the best news possible, the most life-changing thing ever, the thing that's changed us and transformed us, that becomes the thing that's our best kept secret. And we'll talk about the Netflix series, and we'll talk about the restaurant, and we'll talk about the new clothes, and we'll talk about the deal that we just heard about at Costco. But Jesus becomes our best kept secret. And the thing that I've been wrestling with is, gosh, like, we're called to be ambassadors. That's what kingdom people do. And yet I personally know that a lot of times, like, because it's scary or because it's uncomfortable, or because I don't want to be awkward, or because I don't want to be weird, I avoid that. And yet, shouldn't we, you guys, shouldn't we want other people in our lives to get in on that? That's what Paul's saying. Paul's like, man, I'm compelled. I'm compelled to tell other people because of what God has done for me. I want other people to get in on that. And I'm not trying to impose Jesus on anybody, but I'm telling you, he's made such a difference in my life. I want to propose Jesus to everybody. That's what we've been called to do. Not to be pushy or weird or cram Jesus down anybody's throat. But if he's changed your life, shouldn't you want other people to get in on that? Shouldn't you want other people to hear about that? That there's a God that loves him, and a Jesus that died for him, and a life that God has for him that's full, free, and forever? So, how do we do that? How do we do it in a way that's not awkward or pushy or weird? How do we do it in a way that feels actually attainable? How can we be ambassadors and actually do the work that God's called us to do, to take up the mantle of the ministry of reconciliation and actually do what it is that God's invited us to be a part of? How do we make his mission our mission, his purpose our purpose? How do we go about doing that? Real practical. I'll spend the last few minutes on this. There's a few things that Paul's actually going to tell us, and it's in the book of Colossians. He's going to share three things that we can do, that you and I can do. I kind of, like, call this section of the book of Colossians in chapter 4. This is like the ordinary person's guide to being an ambassador, right? These are ordinary things. It's not like, you know, go levitate in your prayer closet and pray for the nations with candles lit. You know what I mean? This is like normal stuff that you can do. This is what he says. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And he says, and pray for us too, that God may open to us a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul says, you want to be a good ambassador. You want to get better at sharing your faith. He says, a great place to start is prayer. It's praying for the people that you'd like opportunity to share with. It's praying for the people that you care about, that you wish knew the message of Jesus. It's just beginning to pray. He's like, and you may not know how to start the conversation. You may not have all the answers to the questions that they're asking. You may not even be sure how you would answer them should they ask you a question. But something that all of us can do starting this week, something that you could do to begin to be an ambassador and to begin to make his mission your mission, is you could just start praying for the people in your life. You start praying for your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors, your classmates, your teammates. You should begin to start committing to pray for them. And two things that he says specifically that you could pray for in regards to those conversations. He says you could pray for open doors, so opportunity. He says you could pray that you could proclaim it clearly, so pray for clarity. Pray for opportunity and clarity. God, would you open up a door for ministry? Would you open up a door for a conversation to happen? And then God, when the opportunity arrives, would you help me to be clear? Not to overcomplicate it or like fumble through my words, but just help me to be clear. And I'm just telling you guys that God responds and works through honest and earnest prayer. And so Paul says, you pray earnestly. And I've seen this work in my own life. A few years ago, I was a part of an outdoor fitness group. Literally just means you work out outside. And we would go to a park, a local park, and work out and use like the park equipment to work out. It's like a poor person's CrossFit. You know what I mean? Like, and so like, that's basically what it was. For me, it was like, okay, like I'm gonna go work out outside at this park with these people. And we would work out. And this is also though in the season where my kiddos were like babies. And so I was tired. And so I had to get up really early to go and work out. And there was one morning where it had been an exceptionally rough night with my daughter. And so I was tired. I got up that morning and I was like, I am not gonna go work out. But I had also committed in that season, I had been praying a prayer consistently and earnestly for that season, pretty much for like a couple of years. I prayed this prayer every morning, first few minutes that I would wake up, I would pray. God, if there's somebody today that needs help, if there's somebody who's hurting, if there's somebody that needs encouragement, if there's somebody that needs some kindness, if there's somebody that needs to hear the message of Jesus, would you help me to be bold? And would you show them to me and help me to be bold and share with them today? And I'd pray that, like just 2 minutes, whatever. I would pray that every morning before I got out of bed. Well, that morning I was like, hey, I am not gonna go work out and get out of bed, but I'll pray my prayer and then I'll reset my alarm and I'll go to sleep, right? So I prayed my prayer. God, if there's anybody out there, you know, today that needs help, needs encouragement, needs to be uplifted, needs healing, needs hope, needs to hear the message of Jesus, would you show them to me and then make me courageous enough to be able to talk to them, right? So I prayed that prayer and I rolled back over and I reset my alarm and I was gonna go back to sleep and I could not go back to sleep, you guys. It was like I didn't hear the audible voice of God because like that would have scared me. But like, I know whenever people are like, and I heard God, I'm like, you heard God? I would be like, you know what I mean? Like, and so I didn't hear the audible voice of God, but I just felt bothered. And so I was like, this must be God telling me I need to go work out. And so I go and I drive over to the park where we were working out. And when I got over there, nobody else showed up and it was just me. And I was like, God, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so tired. But there was a guy and he was sitting at one of the picnic tables and park bench area and he's drinking coffee and he looks like he's reading the Bible. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I already drove over here. I'm like, am I about to go talk to this guy? I'm gonna go talk to him. And so I got out of my car and I walked over and I was like, what's up, man? And I know he had to be thinking, weird, why are you talking to me? You know what I mean? Like, and I felt that. I felt uncomfortable, right? And I was like, what's up, man? What are you reading? And he's like, man, I'm in this 12-step program. And he's like, and they're talking to me about a higher power. And so I bought a Bible and I just started reading this book called John. He's like, do you know anything about this? And I was like, I so happened to be a professional Christian, you know what I mean? Like, and so I'm like, let's go. And I was like, dude, yes, I actually do know about that. And so we opened up the Gospel of John and we got to sit there and talk about it. And I didn't end up, you know, leading him in any kind of like prayer or anything like that, but we got to talk for a good 30 minutes about the Gospel of John and I got to help him to make a little bit more sense of what he was reading and who he was reading about. And I say all that to say that God, right, God answers those earnest and honest prayers, and he'll open up a door of opportunity for ministry to happen. And so something that you could all start doing this week, if you wanna be an ambassador, if we wanna actually like carry out the work that God's called us to do, is that you could just start praying. You could pray for people in your life, or you could just begin praying, God, would you give me an opportunity to speak to somebody? Would you open up a door? And would you give me the clarity and the courage to answer when it opens? So pray earnestly. And then Paul's gonna mention two more things. He says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders, just meaning people outside the faith. He said, be wise in the way you're acting around everybody else that's not like, you know, following Jesus. And he says, make the most of every opportunity. And he says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So Paul tells us two more things that we can do if we're gonna be good ambassadors. He says, pray earnestly. The second thing that he says is walk wisely. It's like, walk wisely. Like live in a way that lets other people know that you're following Jesus as your king. It's like walk wisely in the way that you walk, in the way that you talk, in the way that you treat other people, in the way that you handle your money, in the way that you handle your free time, in the way that you handle situations and circumstances that don't go the way that you thought, in the way that you handle failure, in the way that you handle rejection, in the way that you react to others that maybe don't treat you kindly. He's like, man, he's like, in the way that you live, he's like, that will lend credibility to whatever message you're gonna preach. Nobody is buying your perspective if they don't see it in practice. Nobody's buying your perspective if they're not seeing it put into practice. They need to see the difference in you. And that's what Paul's saying. He's going, walk wisely. Let other people see the difference that following Jesus makes in your life. And then he says, when people see it and they wonder why you are the way that you are, they wonder why you reacted the way that you reacted with kindness and grace instead of with anger and impatience. He's like, when they wonder why, then he says, make the most of that opportunity. I read a great example of this from a couple of guys, and I'll read it to you. There's a guy named Brian Head Welch. And Brian Head Welch was a member of a band in the early 2000s called Korn. Any rockers in the room, yeah? If you were just, watching TLR in the early, you know, like, or TRL, sorry. TLR is our college ministry at, Buckhead Church. So if you were watching TRL back in the day, Korn was very popular, right, band. And this guy was a member of the band. And at some point, he's making a lot of money, and now he's trying to figure out what to do with all this money. And so he gets involved in real estate in his hometown in order to try to find something to do with all this money. Must be nice. And as he did, right, he writes in his book that he met a guy named Doug. And Doug, he says, was a church-going goody-goody, but he was positive and he was drawn to that. And together with another one of Doug's friends named Eric, they would do these real estate deals together. At the same time, Brian writes, he was also battling a meth addiction. And in 2004, he hit rock bottom and he decided he was gonna begin to reach out to Doug and Eric a little bit. He writes that he had noticed that these guys were different in the way that they dealt with people, in the way that they handled themselves, in the way that their families were. He just noticed there's a difference about these guys. There's a peace about them. There's a confidence about them. There's a hope about them. There's a positivity about them that was attractive. And so he decides he's gonna reach out a little bit. He said that they would email about real estate all the time. And in some of those emails, he began to hint at how unhappy he was. One morning, he writes that he got an email out of the blue from Eric. Brian, not to get weird on you or anything, but I was reading my Bible this morning and you came to mind when I read this verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know why, but I had a very strong feeling that that would mean something to you and that I should send it. Please don't take this the wrong way. All the best, Eric. Brian said he read the email, and in a couple days he put together a reply, and he said that in his reply, everything that he'd been holding in came out. He told him, I'm a lost soul. My life is empty. Nothing's fun anymore. Maybe I should try out church. You seem to have something different in your life. Do you have any advice on where I should go from here? Eric's reply, you guys, is so good. God has opened the door and now he's stepping into the opportunity. He says, Brian, thanks so much for sharing. I want you to get one concept. He says, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car, which he stole that from Billy Graham. That's awesome. He says, a relationship with Jesus is personal. He's your confidant and your friend. You can turn to him anytime. He's always accepting no matter what you've done. He can release you from any guilt, pain, or shame that you have. People in far worse circumstances have turned their lives around and come to know the unconditional love of God. I'd love to come and sit and talk with you more about it. And he did. And Brian Head Welch, the band member from Korn, ended up giving his life to Christ because of the faithfulness and the wise living and the opportunity taking of Eric and Doug, the real estate guys. You know what I mean? Like, just ordinary guys walking wisely, seizing the opportunity as it presents itself. The last thing that Paul mentioned in that passage, he said, we pray earnestly, we walk wisely. And the last thing that he says is we speak graciously. He said, our words are seasoned with salt, meaning they add value. Our conversations are filled with encouragement and hope and light and life. And when we disagree, we do so with respect and we treat the other person with dignity. And when we have to have hard conversations, we speak truth with love and we don't let any unwholesome talk that come out of our mouths and we don't let things that tear other people down come out and we don't participate in gossip. He's going like let your conversations be full of grace. We speak graciously. He says, and when you speak graciously, it paves the way for people to actually listen to what it is that you have to say. And instead of trying to win arguments and prove points, we treat people with love and with respect. We answer them kindly and gently. He says, when you talk like that, it paves the way for conversation to happen. One last story, and I'll close. Recently, I saw the power of speaking graciously at work. I'm in seminary right now, and I was with my cohort, and we were traveling to class, and I don't get to see these guys that often, so we were hanging out one evening, and we had gone to a ball game after class, and then a couple of us wanted to continue to hang out and have conversation and just hear about what's going on with church and life and family and tell me about your kids and stuff like that, and so we decided we'd hang out. There was a dock outside of the hotel that we were staying at and had some chairs and stuff set up. And so we went out and we sat. And when we got out there, we realized that everybody else out there was wearing the same color. Like they were all in like beige. And so we were like, what is happening right now? But we were not wearing beige. And so we sat down and we start talking. We're like, what is this interesting thing that's going on? And a couple of these people pull up a table next to us. There's three of them. And they were like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we were like, same. And they said, well, you know, what are you all doing? And we're like, oh, we're just, you know, we're here for class. And they're like, oh, you're not a part of the wedding party. And I was like, oh no, we're not a part of your wedding. And so they were like, well, you know, what kind of school are you in? And now this is like where it's like, oh, like, are we going to be honest? Cause like, as soon as you tell somebody that you're like a pastor, then people are like, oh, sorry, father. You know what I mean? Like, no. So, you know, people get weird around you. So, and so we're like, wow, you know, we're in seminary, we're studying, we're pastors. And they're like, pastors? Nah, you're not a pastor. I was like, really? I'm pretty sure. And they're like, yeah, but I didn't think you guys were allowed to be married because they saw wedding rings. They're like, what? And they're like, oh, again, yeah. No, we are. We're allowed to be married. Like, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, and so we're like, yeah, I got, you know, I'm showing pictures of my wife and kids. And so is my buddy. And they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. They're like, so you guys are really pastors. You're Christians. And immediately you guys, they had pushback. They had questions. They had frustrations. They had baggage. Some of the first things that they said to us was, I bet you guys hate gay people. Do you guys let people like us go to your church? They were like, would you let someone like me sit in your church? Because they're drinking and smoking and having a good time. one of the guys spoke up and he said, "How much money does it cost to go to your church?" I was like, $39.95. No, I'm teasing. I'm joking. I was like, man, it was crazy. And everything in me, I'll just tell you guys this, everything in me like wanted to get defensive because you feel like you've been accused. You're like, you don't know me. You don't know my friends. You don't know our church. But that wouldn't have been helpful. My buddy Brad and I, we did our best to speak graciously. We answered the questions that we could. We showed him pictures of our church. I showed him a picture of our church on Instagram and they immediately thought we were a cult because they were like, it's too big to be a church. So they had these questions. We continued to talk. They asked us what we thought about Jesus, what we thought about people like them, what Jesus thought about people like them. We had these gracious conversations. We laughed, we talked, we shared stories. I shared how I ended up becoming a Christian and how it was not by any kind of normal means. I shared my story with them and we had these conversations and you guys, 2 hours went by. And in the course of those 2 hours, those three people kept inviting people over saying, come and meet these pastors. And people from the wedding party, by the end of the 2 hours, there was about 15 people gathered around our table asking questions about Jesus, asking questions about faith, asking questions about church. Some of them aggressively, some of them kindly, some of them genuinely curious, but our conversations were seasoned with salt. At the end of 2 hours, we realized I have to get up for class in the morning and we said, hey, we need to leave. And they were like, please stay 30 more minutes. Would you please talk to us a little bit longer? We don't know anybody like you guys. Like what? At the end of the conversation, 30 more minutes, we're like, we really do have to go. This group that had been kind of standoffish, kind of like, what is this all about? At the end, we're like, hey, we gotta go. And they're like, thank you so much for talking to us. And the young couple that had just gotten married said, I don't know if you guys do this, but would you pray for our marriage? And then after that, another young lady spoke up. She said, my mom's got stage 4 cancer. While you guys are praying, could you pray for her? And then she's done. And another young man said, who had his arms crossed, his face was red, and you could tell he was so angry. He said, I guess while you guys are at it, could you pray for me? He said, I'm so mad. Pray that I could forgive God. He said, because I'm mad that he took my dad away. We prayed and we left. And it was a reminder of how much God can do with a little gracious speak. So, how do we be ambassadors? We pray earnestly. We walk wisely. We speak graciously. And you guys, you don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a professional Christian. All of us can do that this week in our interactions with others. You can pray earnestly in the morning before you go to work or before you go to school. You could pray earnestly that God would open up a door. You could walk wisely and let other people see the difference that Jesus is making in your life and the way that you live and treat others. And you could speak graciously and let your words be seasoned with salt in the way that you love and encourage and uplift and speak life and hope. And even in the way that you disagree with kindness and respect, you could do those things. And if you would do that this week, God will open up doors and he will transform lives. What does kingdom work look like? What do kingdom people do? We're ambassadors, but that doesn't have to be scary or intimidating. As a matter of fact, you guys, that's where the good stuff is. That's where the good stuff is. When we're doing those things, I'm just telling you, some of you, you're bored in your faith. And the reason why you're bored in your faith is you never got on mission. And if you would get on mission with God, your faith would come alive in ways that you didn't know were possible. So pray earnestly, walk wisely, speak graciously, and God will open doors and he will transform lives. And the kingdom will come, not just in our lives, but through our lives, into the lives of others. Amen? Amen. We're gonna close this series out. I know it went a few minutes long. We're gonna close this series out by singing a song together. And this song is a prayer and an invitation for God to bring his kingdom in us and through us, and to build the kingdom at Gwinnett Church and through Gwinnett Church. And so we're just gonna stand and sing this last song together. It's just a song that just declares, God, you reign. It's about your kingdom. We wanna see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'd love for you to stand and sing with us this closing song.